I really enjoy reading and watching fantastical and sci-fi media. I've mentioned it before, but there's something so enjoyable about delving deep into outer space or fantastical worlds that requires adventure and a little bit of strife. But sometimes these stories are complicated, or I start reading something that has multiple books in the series and can be quite long-winded. Some authors find themselves very clever and end up going on little mini rants about how their fantasy world is so special, or come up with a fancy magic system that's really hard to grasp. And so while a lot of the time these stories can be convoluted or require a lot of foreshadowing and attention, I do think there's one genre I feel I can read and relax within this zone without dedicating too much brain space to pick apart. And that's the isekai or portal fantasy genre. Hello, and welcome to Jackie On, a podcast where I, Jackie, talk about my opinions on a bunch of different topics. This episode is Jackie on isekai versus portal fantasy and why I like the genre so much. So, I just kind of want to start off by talking about the difference between these two genres, what attracts me to them, and even mention a few of the books I've read or series I've read, as isekai can come in a variety of forms. So, before we even start, let's talk about what even is isekai. It really just means another world or another world in Japanese, and is a type of fiction mostly seen from webcomics, novels, light novels, and also manga. And while these also are seen in either Chinese or Korean art styles as well, I think it's kind of important to acknowledge the fact that isekai is often seen in conjunction with Eastern Asian media, whereas a lot of the time the Western world paints more picture with portal fantasy. But these are not very hard, strict lines. These genres kind of blur and blend into each other very easily and can apply across the board. But I first want to kind of talk about isekai and why I enjoy it as a genre. And let me be clear, almost 80% of these stories are the exact same replicas of each other. Seriously, it's like the exact same prompt occurs. A character typically has a bad life, and then they die, or most often are hit by a truck and then transported to the world of a novel they knew about, had read, loved, or something of that trope. They're usually a secondary character in the book, or even the villain, and by the end, either get the secondary male lead, the male lead, or the villain to fall in love with them and live happily ever after. I specify male lead because a lot of the time, the main character is a female, but it can also be men who are isekai'd, and then they might have a female or a woman who is their love interest. But at the same time, you also see like there being some kind of isekai that's more on found family. So you'll see like a person being reincarnated as a child, and like there's obviously no love interest until they grow up, if they grow up. Or, you know, being transported as like a servant and they have to make sure that everything works properly. So like there's a lot of different subgenres. A lot of the time there's a heavy focus on romance or like the found family and feel good genres, as well as it being fantasy and historical. There are some that kind of challenge the main tropes of the genre by making the main character come from an apocalyptic world before they travel. Some who feel more stuck by being transmigrated, which is often the word that's used, which is just like reincarnated, but like you go into another world, to a completely different world. And some who are so obviously not the same character that they transported to, because a lot of the time they're like transported to this character after they had some kind of incident. So it's like they have personality A, and then something happens, and they have personality B, and everyone's like, whoa, you're so different all of a sudden, but we like this new you. And sometimes it's a little off-putting, because you're like, okay, clearly this is a different person. So sometimes that is acknowledged, and I think that's a little bit breaking of the tropes in the genre, so I think that can be fun sometimes too. I really do like it when a genre can turn on its head, but I also love it when it doesn't. I kind of see it more as a comfort genre to me. And I think, in addition, a lot of the associated genre with these stories is usually some historical world. So there might be elements of fantasy in the way there's crystals and powers and such, but strangely, in most that I've read, it's often like a Korean person who gets transmigrated into the body of a vaguely European noble. A lot of it is like a marquess or a duke or a duchess and the like, with like haughty tea parties and like a wicked social scene, which I think is really interesting and fascinating, that there's almost like these little made up kingdoms that are created just for isekai. And then so you're taking someone who lived in like a very different situation and then all of a sudden transplanting them into like a vaguely Western world in like historical novel. So it can be quite fascinating in that way. But I like the genre just because I think maybe because it is predictable and I can just kind of sit back. I know what's going to happen, but it's funny seeing the interactions between the characters. And as someone who doesn't really enjoy romance that much, it's a way to kind of ease you into romance where it's not too much. It's not heavy, full-hearted, but it's a little bit more of like a soft opening, a soft transition. And so I think that's why I've enjoyed it. But I found that a lot of the genre of like portal fantasy in general is just fantasy. So usually one is not being transported to a fancy historical scene where they can live a better life. They're actually given worse circumstances, at least in most cases, or they have some kind of trial and tribulation. And so I think that's one of the main key differences, I think, between isekai and portal fantasy. Is portal fantasy won't necessarily make your life better. It just makes you go through an adventure. Whereas isekai is all about, okay, your old life is dead, you're gone, you have a new life, and there'll be a better life because you have all these hot people trying to date you. Not really, but like that's a lot of some of the themes behind it that you often find, which I think is funny. And so while it is a comfort genre, I think portal fantasy kind of makes it a little bit more edgy. But there's kind of this in between that I want to talk about between portal fantasy and isekai before I get strictly into portal fantasy. So it's technically, isekai is just Japanese portal fantasy, but I feel like, again, there's a lot of distinctions between it and some of the portal fantasy stuff. Like, if you think of The Wizard of Oz, that's portal fantasy, with the tornado being a portal. But oftentimes an isekai is the understanding that you're stuck and you can't come back to your world, which some portal fantasy does adhere to, but it's still more of a standard in isekai. Whereas in portal fantasy, like The Wizard of Oz, she does come back. She goes on a little adventure, she comes back, she's happy. Because again, it's not as though she died in her previous world, she was just transported. And I think that's a difference. There's transportation and there's transmigration. There's being reincarnated and there's just stepping through a little portal and going to another world for a little bit. So I think that's kind of where I draw the biggest line between them. But then there's the situation in which the world itself fundamentally changes, and so you're not going somewhere, but you're also not going through a portal and then coming back. So the middle point is what's called the Dungeon Break series, or Gate Fantasy type series, where basically the world was happy and then all of a sudden something changed, like a massive disruption and monsters started appearing, or the world becomes basically like an RPG world, so it can be similar to like lit RPG in that sense. What follows is that there's some sort of class system unveiled, where characters have special classes or are given abilities and have to keep everyone safe or progress in some way. I kind of think of it like a reverse isekai or portal fantasy, where the starting world, often Earth and Korea, Japan, or China, faces the outcome of things coming through a portal and affecting the universe, rather than the other way around, with a person just going through the portal. And again, a lot of these impacts are permanent, right? So all of a sudden, one common trope is all of a sudden portals open up and monsters come into the world, and people are given special abilities, and oh my god, now we have to constantly fight these gates and these different situations and dungeons, basically, that you have to go into and kill people or kill monsters in. And so the world's fundamentally changed, there's no going back. But it's not like you went through the change, it's the world went through the change. And so that's another genre that I think is very adjacent, even if I think it can also be distinct on its own, but doesn't really have its own title like portal fantasy. I think of it almost like a reverse isekai, because the world's still being permanently changed, there's no like going back to the beginning. But it's still like a portal oftentimes is opened that does change the world. So it's kind of up to interpretation. Like a lot of these genres are loosey-goosey in that way. And I think that's totally fair. But I just want to give a quick example to kind of contextualize this more, because I think it's kind of hard to talk about a genre in vague obscurity without giving an example about what it could look like. So one of my favorites of this like middle type is called Omniscient Reader's Viewpoint, which is about a Korean salaryman who likes reading webcomics. And one day the webcomic he's reading comes to life and he's thrown into the adventures of the protagonist as the world becomes subject to the whims of the Starstream, which is a group of intergalactic beings that are watching Earth as the population has to compete against different scenarios that basically make them risk their lives against each other, dragons, different monsters, and sea creatures and the like. Of course, everyone has a special skill and patron and things like this. And I would not count this necessarily as isekai, because again, he's not going into the world of the novel. The world of the novel is coming up around him. However, it's a little similar to some of the Western material that I've read as well. We can look at one of the main examples I have of this is actually a very similar story called Dungeon Crawler Carl, where Carl, who's a former Coast Guard, is watching his girlfriend's cat, and she decides to jump outside their apartment at 2 a.m., leading him to chase her, before all the buildings are crushed into the ground, and an alien force tells the Earth that they have reclaimed it, and basically all humans have to go into entrances to a dungeon where their exploits to survive will be broadcast to the galaxy, or else they'll die. So the story basically follows Carl and his girlfriend's cat, Princess Donut, as they have to stay alive and fight goblins, other dungeon crawlers, and other manner of monsters. And I think this is a lot closer to an RPG game and has a lot of the same skill level up mechanics and classes and magical gear, all the fun stuff that you want to read about. However, the premise is certainly similar to Omniscient Reader's viewpoint, just executed very differently. And I think to me, these stories kind of give me the most of like the difference between a lot of the more Japanese, Korean, and Chinese renditions of these stories versus the more Americanized or even Europeanized versions, in which they are very similar, but they take inspiration and roots from different places. Like, Omniscient Reader's viewpoint very much takes inspiration from a lot of the isekai portal fantasy setup, whereas I think the Dungeon Crawler Carl series definitely takes more inspiration from, like, role-playing games and even portal fantasy to a certain degree, but they're executed in very different styles, and of course the premises are a little bit different, with Dungeon Crawler Carl not being a book before it happens, but just kind of occurring in the world, and there being a lot of different pressures around that. And I think they're both wonderful stories, but they still both exist in the middle point, which just really goes to show that there's not necessarily a huge distinction between what is done in a Western versus Eastern sense with the genre. It's just that a lot of the times they're presented differently, and they're definitely marketed and sold differently to different audiences. But there are a lot of overlaps and similar tropes that are utilized throughout the genre as a whole. And I want to say, definitively drawing a line in the sand for these genres can be difficult. And at the end of the day, most stories do operate under multiple genres, and not just one, which adds complexity, but also makes it hard to strictly label them. And that's okay. We don't have to label these genres in a super strict manner of this has to be this and this has to be that. I think it's perfectly okay to keep them vague and ambiguous, but I just kind of wanted to present the fact that, like, there's not a line in the sand, and that's okay. And a lot of people actually do have opinions on this too. Some people might say everything I'm saying right now is completely wrong, and they categorize these genres differently, and that's okay too. Like, I think it's okay to have discourse and opinions. So, with that side tangent out of the way, I want to talk a little bit more about portal fantasy, which I see as definitely like an adventure. Like, the hero's journey archetype is like the most portal fantasy thing ever in my mind. Like, as I mentioned, The Wizard of Oz and even Alice in Wonderland, right? She has a situation she doesn't necessarily want to tend to, marriage, and she falls and I'm telling the story wrong, I'm so sorry. And she finds a rabbit, and she follows it, and she falls into a portal to another world, and she has adventures there, and she's trying to get back, and then she gets back, and things are different. Like, again, this idea of returning home again. Same with Wizard of Oz, and some of these, like, pivotal portal stories. What's really key here, too, is that oftentimes in portal fantasy, again, you're just transported, you don't die. Like, isekai, you have to die. You no longer are of the world, like, 99.9% of the time. You get killed, mostly by a truck. It's actually become a meme at this point. Like, it's a standard. People like to say that the same truck is always the one to kill you. But in portal fantasy, it's just, oh, you're transported into a new world. Congrats. Have fun and enjoy yourself. And so one of the first portal fantasy stories my dad remembers encountering is The Realm, which is about a guy named Alex and his friends who check out a cabin and are transported to some fantasy continent where some of them become enslaved, become warriors, and learn magic. And basically them battling their way to the top and to freedom for the women, and also to, you know, maybe find a way back home, is just, like, the main idea. And it was made in 1986, but it really shows how the genre has been around for some time, even going beyond the classics into something that's more akin that you'll see today. But still, like, they didn't die to do this. They were just encountered an adventure and fell into a portal into a new world. And that's really what I think is key. And that reincarnation isn't done in the same exact sense as you might think. It's more of a, you have an added little adventure to your life and not, you have a new life. And you're not a new person. You just are someone who's in a new world. Whereas Isekai is very much pinpointed on, you have a new identity. You became a character that's pre-existing, or you became someone who was added to a story. You're not the same person you were before. You don't have the same features at all. Whereas that's why I think a lot of the reverse Isekai I'm talking about kind of aligns somewhat with Portal Fantasy, because you are who you were when you started. You might have gone through some changes personality-wise, character development-wise, but you're still the same guy. From Dungeon Crawler Carl series, which, by the way, my family's been very obsessed with, it's very good. Carl never becomes Duke Johnson. He's always Carl. So that's like one of the main distinctions, I think, that kind of sets these two genres apart, not just with the dying thing, but also with who are you as a person? Are you the same person or are you a different person? And so, well, I found a lot of comfort in both of these genres as a whole, and there are some distinctions between them. I think at the end of the day, it's important to realize that there's a lot of comfort in these genres because you know what you can expect. You know it's going to be fun. You know there's going to be some miscommunication, finding yourself, battling against monsters, and ultimately cool powers and abilities that create some edge and interesting aspects. But I think the reason why these genres are so appealing too is because it makes it feel like it can happen to you, right? Like, these are about normal people who have random circumstances happen to them, and you get to see how they'd react in these circumstances. And I think there's something really enjoyable and fun about that. Thanks for tuning into this episode of Jackie On. I'll see you in the next one.